Good afternoon. I am Commissioner Deanna Keller, Port of Tacoma Audit Committee Chair, calling to order the virtual Audit Committee meeting on October 10th, 2023. Also present today via Teams is Commissioner Dick Marzano, Audit Committee Vice Chair. The time is now 1:31 p.m. Our first item is to approve the minutes from our last committee meeting on April 14th, 2023. Are there any questions or comments? I move that we approve the minutes of April 14th, 2023. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Marzano. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All in favor, the motion carries. So I'm going to turn this over to Darren Arakaki, who's our port auditor, who's going to introduce the agenda items.
Thank you, Commissioner Keller. Commissioner Keller and Commissioner Marzano, first of all, thank you very much for being a part of the audit committee. We appreciate your leadership over the years. And, you know, I know it's a committee that a lot of commissioners move back when we call for volunteers. So I really appreciate your leadership and guidance. Today, we really only have one item on the agenda, which is our introduction of our financial audit. It's that time of the year again, in the late beginning of fall, where we start the audit process. So I want to introduce Moss Adams, who will talk through their audit and what they're going to do for our financial statement audit. So I want to introduce Olga Darlington, our partner, and Scott Bomke, our manager from Moss Adams, who will kick off the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Darren, and good afternoon, members of the audit committee. As Darren said, it's that time of the year again when we're kicking off the 2023 year-end audit. And of course, we started with planning and interim procedures way before the December 31 year-end. And so these communications that we have with you at the beginning and at the completion of the audit, although required by the auditing standards that we follow, that we provide these communications to you, but we also like to keep these more of a forum for addressing any questions that you may have with respect to the audit or what we do or our audit plan or anything really. So feel free to ask questions as we're presenting, or we will have our contact information on the slides as well. Feel free to reach out to us at any point, because we do want to have that communication to be a two-way. If we go ahead and advance to the first slide, we'll cover a quick few items on the agenda. So at first, we'll present our service team to you, so members on our audit team that will be working with on the port's audit. We'll cover the scope of services that we're engaged to perform, as well as the responsibilities that the auditor has under the auditing standards, as well as management has under the auditing standards, with oversight of those charged with governance, such as the audit committee. We'll go into a little bit of detail on the audit process. Every year we do the risk assessment before we start the audit and identify specific areas that we consider would be requiring more of our audit attention. So we'll share those with you. And then what do we do with respect to considering the risk of fraud in our audits as well? And we'll wrap that up with the timeline that we're expecting for the audit to be completed, and then the timing of our planned communication to you at the completion of the audit next year. So if we go next to the next slide, first and foremost, wanted to introduce our service team to you. Scott and I will be the main points of contact for Darren and his team throughout the audit. But of course, we have many members of our team that work closely with the finance and accounting group at the port. We also have Lori Tisch, who is our concurring review partner. Her role is really to be the QC partner on the engagement. She's very far removed from the audit. She will perform some review, high-level review of the audit documentation that we prepare, as well as a review of the annual report that the port prepares, just to make sure that we have that layer of quality to the report that we issue. And then we do have an IT team that will be working on assessing the IT systems at the port as they pertain to financial reporting. So he and his team will be working on just looking at specific aspects of the IT systems and applications. If we go to the next slide, the services that we are engaged to provide to the port are those of independent auditor, and these are audits related to the annual financial reports, so the financial statements of the port, which of course include the enterprise fund, and that's all of the operations of the port as an entity, as well as a fiduciary fund, and that's the post-employment healthcare benefit fund trust. They're all going to be under the umbrella of annual report, very different types of balances in each one of those funds, so we audit them separately, but they will be included in one big annual report. The audit that we will be performing will be conducted under government auditing standards, which require just a little bit more of us in terms of independence and ethics and training specific to those government auditing standards. So based on that work, we will also issue a report on internal control and compliance over the financial reporting. If we have any findings during the audit that rise to the level of a significant deficiency or material weakness, that report will highlight those specific items. If there is none noted, then it will be just a clean report as well. So that's what has been issued historically. So going to the next slide. As I mentioned, the communication that we are providing is governed by the auditing standards that we follow in performing our audits. There's very specific guidelines as to how we perform our audit, how we're trained to perform our audit, and procedures that we perform, and the risk assessment that we perform in the planning of the audit. And so the requirement is that we provide to you information on the scope and our audit plan in the beginning of the audit, and once again, allow for any questions or any concerns to be raised during that time that we need to incorporate, or any additional guidance that you may have for us to incorporate in our audit plan. And of course, we'll come back at the end of the audit and communicate to you a lot more information on the results of the audit and any additional findings that that we find. So, moving on to the next slide, I mentioned the responsibilities that the auditor has under the government auditing standards, and that's to express opinion on the financial statements that are actually responsibility of management. Management does prepare that annual report that I mentioned earlier, that voluminous document was a lot of information of numbers and footnotes and management discussion and analysis and required supplementary information. Management takes responsibility for all of that. That allows us to maintain our independence in performing the audit. If we do have any findings, we will recommend those corrections to be made in the financial statements for management's consideration. As I mentioned, we're performing the audit in accordance with government auditing standards. The standards we follow allow for a materiality to be set to opine on the financial statements. So that means we're not auditing every single transaction throughout the year and every single dollar amount in the financial statements. We'll really perform a risk assessment. And then any material items do have to be corrected before we can provide an unmodified opinion on the financial statements. But there's some items that we may just not be able touch in terms of audit testing due to an inherent audit risk. We do consider internal controls during our audit, and we actually, for a large entity like Port, it's a very significant area for us to focus on because there's so many significant transactions. Individually, it could be small, but they add up to material amounts. So we do look, extensively look at internal controls surrounding payroll and disbursements and contracting and any kind of compliance surrounding federal grants, if any are received during a year, as well as capital asset cycle. So once again, if we have best practice recommendations, we share those with management at the end of the audit for their consideration. but there's always cost and benefit to implementing those best practices. If anything rises to a level that's more significant in terms of material finding, that will be included in our report on internal controls. All right, and with that, we'll move on to the next area that Scott will take over from here.
Yeah, thank you, Olga. So in terms of the audit process, just to, I guess, give you a little peek under the hood, so to speak, we start off with our planning and our risk assessment. And so that's what we're doing now. And when we're doing the planning, we consider all the different types of risks to the financials, one of those being inherent risk. So something like an environmental liability or a legal liability or a pension liability are a little bit more complex. So those might have a higher inherent risk, whereas maybe a bank account matching the bank statement might be lower on the inherent risk spectrum. We also consider control risk. So Olga talked a lot about controls there on the last slide. For areas where there's very robust control cycle with many controls throughout the process, then we will call that a little bit potentially lower control risk compared to areas that might have fewer controls throughout the process. And during our planning, we also consider where fraud could occur. So we think about the different types of accounts in the financials, where that could be misstated, as well as misappropriation of assets. So we do, and that goes hand in hand with controls. And we do want to highlight, as you're probably well aware, that an audit, our audit does not provide absolute assurance. It provides reasonable assurance, and it will say that in our audit opinion, the final product. So we will be testing a sampling of transactions, which will ultimately provide reasonable assurance. And the extent of our audit procedures and what we look at and how deep we look at certain areas, it really is driven by this risk assessment. So we look and really try to provide the most value to the port where the riskiest areas are, and we try to spend the most amount of time there. Next slide, please. And a huge kind of foundation of our audit procedures is the concept of materiality. And materiality is the amount that, if it was misstated, could potentially influence or change economic decisions of the users of the financial statements. And materiality has both quantitative and qualitative factors. So quantitative, we just have an example there of total assets. That's not necessarily the one we use, but a quantitative consideration is we look at how big a balance is relative to the rest of the balance sheet or the rest of the income statement. And then qualitative factors include different things that might be relevant to the port and its users, such as potential debt covenants or expectations or the budget, kind of understanding how material the transactions we're testing are in relation to those in a qualitative framework. And then we use our materiality for several things. We use it to identify significant risks. So things like revenue that are, you know, probably one of the largest numbers on the income statement, you know, that's going to be a higher risk because it's very material. We do use our materiality. It's going to impact the nature, timing, and extent of the procedures that we perform. And then ultimately, if we have any audit findings or misstatements that we recommend get posted, that is all driven by materiality as well. If something is clearly trivial, then we don't bring it up. But if it is kind of material to the port to be aware of, then we will bring it up. Next slide, please.
Hey, Scott, before you go, can I ask a question quickly?
Of course, yeah.
This is Dick. On this, you also mentioned industry factors. Is that based on, you know, different things that are happening within the industry, be it, you know, along the whole West Coast or the overall picture, or how do you look at that?
Yeah, great question, Dick. That's exactly right. So we'll be looking kind of really at the industry as a whole, which kind of the most comparable market is going to be some of those West Coast ports, but potentially some of the East Coast ports. But we will be looking at what's going on in the industry just to kind of determine what's important to the users and then kind of what we're seeing in the numbers, how significant, you know, your trends are to the overall market and industry.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Please keep the questions coming. That's why we're here. That makes it more fun. So the next slide here, what are we going to emphasize? So areas of audit emphasis, internal controls. That's a big one. So that's where we're doing a lot of our control walkthroughs and testing this week and next. And that also includes internal controls over what we call information technology, general computer controls, so IT controls. Every year, and just into the future, those get more and more important for entities such as the port. And that's why we have our IT specialists come in, and they will look at certain areas such as security and access, who has access to do what in the system, and how much of it. And then also change management is a big one they look at. So if there's any upgrades or changes to any of the applicable systems, making sure that that got done correctly and was reviewed and approved. So every year it seems like IT every year just gets more and more crucial. Other areas we'll emphasize in terms of the actual financial statements. We have them listed there, cash, AR. Probably the biggest ones are, you know, the accrued certain liabilities and the debt. We will take a deep, thorough scrub of those. Management estimates. So this is why I went into accounting, because accounting is fun. And this is where estimates, accounting is not always black or white. So there is some gray area in those management estimates. And so we will spend a good amount of time during the audit taking a look at those estimates and making sure that they're reasonable, if there's any changes, that that's appropriate, kind of what those inputs are. And then revenue, always a major focus. So we will test a good amount of the revenue transactions and analyze those trends with the key customers, as that's a significant activity for the port. The financial statements, when we get to the financial statement stage in kind of February, March, we will spend a lot of time reading those financials, making sure all the disclosures are appropriate. And then we will also consider any new accounting standards, so GASB standards that are implemented this year. And we have a later slide that goes into a little deeper dive on what those will be. Next
Scott,
slide.
I have a quick question. This is Deanna Keller. I want to ask the question, do you do any kind of coordination with the U.S. Coast Guard? Because I know that they talk about cybersecurity and IT, especially with regard to ports.
Great question. So in terms of the Coast Guard, I don't know if we've exactly reached out to them last year in our first year audit, but that's definitely something we can keep in mind. Our IT team, the main thing, they're really going to be looking at the access and any potential breaches. And kind of all the controls around that. So I think we would definitely keep that in mind.
Right. I think primarily because we are a strategic military port and strategic US-wide. I think we're one of the top three DOD strategic military ports. So I just want to make sure that we are also protecting our nation's interests as well.
Yeah, and thank you for that question, Commissioner Keller. So this is one area where Scott referred to it earlier on industry knowledge. So we do look at different information that impacts the ports from other sources and the other agencies. We don't always incorporate that into our audit plan because it doesn't always fit into the financial aspect of it. So the systems we're looking at primarily access to financial systems.
Gotcha.
So it's the scope of our audit is a little bit more focused on the financial aspect of it, but just being aware of some of those events that you're mentioning and some of the reports that other agencies issues helps us understand the environment in general when we're doing our planning.
Great, thank you.
That is great. And next up, we've got the audit timeline. So we kicked things off last month with engagement letters and planning. This month here in October, we're doing our interim fieldwork and we're doing the entrance presentation. We have November there listed for kind of additional IT and control procedures. Hopefully we'll get a lot of that done in October if needed. We can true that up in November as needed. And then February and March will be the bulk of the audit procedures, what we call final fieldwork. Once all the numbers are finalized for the year, we'll have a full team be out there for a couple weeks, February and March. And then towards the end of that field work is when we get more to the financial reporting stage, going over the different packages and reports. So that'll be March, potentially into April, just depending on, I think our current target issuance date is April 8th, but we will do our best to be ahead of that. Definitely not set in stone, so hopefully we'll be ahead of that. And then in May, we will be back presenting final results, any conclusions, recommendations, kind of what we found and what we saw during our procedures. Next slide, please. No, don't worry too much. We won't quiz you. We won't quiz you on the GASB standards here. This is our job just to share what's coming through the pipeline on the GASB side. But there are, it seems like every year, several new standards coming through that your team, Darren and Brian's team, are incorporating into the financials. We have one bolded there, GASB 96, and that is the subscription-based IT arrangements. That's somewhat pretty similar in the recording to GASB 87 leases, which the board adopted a few years ago now. It just, instead of leases for physical space, such as land or buildings, these are agreements for cloud-based, SaaS-based IT arrangements that will get recorded. So that's kind of in the process. Management will review that, and then we'll audit that. But that's probably the one that potentially might have an impact this year. The rest probably lesser. So any questions on any of the new accounting standards?
I have no question. It's just that it seems like every so often there's always adjustments being made. Am I right on that?
Adjustments to the standards, yes.
Yeah.
Always like,
I mean, just when you think you got it, they say, wait a minute, we're going to start doing this now.
Yeah. Exactly. They like to keep it interesting. The joke, I know with a lot of our clients, we work with a lot of reports and whatnot, it's just the reports always get longer. They never seem to get shorter. They always like to add disclosures and add information, which is good. Yeah, we can go to the next slide, please. And this is just kind of a wrap up. And we're very, very excited. So this is our second year working with the Port of Tacoma. Last year went really great. And we're just really excited to kind of keep those synergies going and working with the team again this year.
Great. Thank you, Scott. I have one question for you, and this always comes up with our other commissioners, making sure, and I know that when we went with you, you assured us that you had a separate team working with the Port of Tacoma versus the Port of Seattle or the Northwest Seaport Alliance. Is that correct? Is that still the case?
Definitely.
That is still the case. Yes. So Scott right. is the manager only on this engagement, and our entire team that's at the Port of Tacoma and Northwest Seaport Alliance is not involved in the audit of the Port of Seattle, aside from myself and a senior manager who is involved with the Northwest Seaport Alliance audit. So
great. Thank you for that. Okay, any other questions? Commissioner Marzano, any questions?
No, I just want to thank them both for all the work they do for us. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for your presentation today. We always appreciate working with you, and I'm happy to have selected you.
Thank you for your time today. We appreciate the time and attention and questions.
Of course. Also for the record, and we may want to include Moss Adams in this, but this is our port auditors, Darren Arakaki's last Port of Tacoma Audit Committee meeting. And I want to make sure that everyone has the time and the opportunity to weigh in. I've been with the Port of Tacoma as a commissioner for 4 years. I have known him to be of the highest integrity. We've had clean audits. He's made sure that he has protected this port for its constituents, and really, really appreciate you and appreciate everything that you have done for all of us. We will miss you. Happy for you, not happy for us, but it's been a pleasure and an honor to be able to know you and to be able to work with you.
And if I could, I echo what Commissioner Keller said 100%. I'm still trying to figure out if I can write a resolution that keeps you here, because I just don't want to see you go. So, but Darren, I wish you all the best. There's no doubt.
Appreciate that, commissioners. Those are really, really kind words. It's been a joy working with you. And, you know, I've enjoyed my time at the port. I think really it's the staff, it's the leadership of the port that really makes, you know, our jobs a lot easier, because, you know, without leadership, you know, things fall apart pretty quickly. And you know, we emphasize controls, we emphasize doing things the right way. And, you know, it's as history has shown, it's helped out a lot. So thank you very much. I also need to thank Commissioner Marzano, because I begged him to join the audit committee. And he did that. So I really do appreciate that, Commissioner Marzano.
Working with you is a pleasure. Don't worry.
Anyone else on the virtual meeting who wants to weigh in as well? All right. Well, again, thank you for your presentation today. And certainly, Darren, thank you for your service to the Port of Tacoma. It's been greatly appreciated. I know our constituents thank you as well. So with no further business before the committee, we will adjourn. The time is now 1:57 p.m. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you.